Thanks. So I realize that I'm the only thing standing between you guys and Sanjay Gupta, so we'll try to cut to the chase. I really want to fly to Lara's part of the presentation. We're going to tag team this a little bit because she's going to be presenting some new data that we just came up with, and this is the first time it's being publicly presented. So as was said, we are two third-year medical students from NYU, and we work with a research team at the NYU Center for AIDS Research and a team at the Bomu Medical Center, which is in Mombasa, Kenya. So just to give you an idea of the HIV/AIDS crisis in Kenya, the prevalence rate is about 6.1% in adults. The rate of infection in women is twice as high as it is in men. For those of you who have never been to Kenya or don't really have a sense of the region, this is a pretty stable democracy. There's an election coming up, so there can be a changeover and questions about instability. There's an article about that in this week's Economist if you're interested. But Mombasa is in the coast region of Kenya, which is right on the Indian Ocean. So it's an interesting mix of Indians, Pakistanis, Somalis. It's a really interesting mix of people in the city. It's predominantly Muslim group. And we started the conference with a speech by the APHA president, Dr. Walker, who called for an end to the war in Iraq. And immediately sort of what I thought of and a message that we're not really getting across as a public health community is that the war on poverty is really, I think, would be more effective as a war on terror, and the war on HIV/AIDS is certainly a part of our war on poverty. So I want to take you small scale now to Bomu Medical Center, which is the organization that we work with in Mombasa. It's a comprehensive community health center with many specialty clinics. It's a USAID center of excellence. It also receives PEPFAR funds. I'm going to use a lot of acronyms, so please shout out if you don't know what I'm talking about. PEPFAR is the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. So they receive funding for care, prevention, and necessary ARV medications for patients. The specialty clinics that are available at Bomu are TB clinic, a comprehensive care center, which is code in Kenyan for the HIV care center. So this is a primary care center for people with HIV and AIDS. The maternity ward, and then the antenatal clinic. We'll be focusing on those last three things, the CCC, the maternity ward, and the antenatal clinic. So we were looking at a system which had a spectrum of care enrollment from the healthy people, whether they're HIV positive, HIV negative, pregnant women who were, again, both HIV positive and HIV negative, and children who were the big common, you know, what's the outcome patient. And we wanted to know whether some of them were positive or negative. So Lara began her work and was looking at barriers to pediatric HIV testing uptake. So she was asking families sort of what are the issues related to bringing your kids in to get tested. If you know that you're HIV positive, what are the barriers to bringing your kids to get tested? I was looking at issues related to access to the maternity ward. There were a lot of questions about transportation and other things, which we'll get into. And we realized that we were really looking at a system of PMTCT, or prevention of mother-to-child transmission of HIV. And really the goal of a PMTCT program at any clinic is to ensure access to antenatal care and ARV therapy no matter the entry point of the patient. So a patient could enter this cycle of care as someone who had been HIV positive for a long time, and they could be being treated at the CCC for a long time, and they could then become pregnant. And she would be at an advantage in some way because she would be known to the care provider as HIV positive. She would receive prevention medications and care and follow up with our community health workers. And she'd be followed throughout her antenatal care, hopefully deliver also at Bomu Medical Center, and then eventually cycle back into normal adult HIV care. A lot of other people, however, show up, a lot of women show up pregnant and with unknown status. So those women are getting tested there. If they are found to be positive at that time, they then enter our PMTCT program and are treated, hopefully, at our CCC and then deliver at our maternity ward. The goal was to provide continuity of care. I don't think I've said that enough yet. So the goal was to keep the people in this cycle of care. And we've cared for over 1,500 pregnant women In the past year. That includes all of our testing services, so that's not just our HIV-positive population. This is basically the pregnant women who came to BOMU at that time. So we were really looking at access to care. I just want to speak briefly about that, specifically coming into maternity and the antenatal clinic. And there was an internal evaluation of transportation as a barrier to care, and really what we found was that cost was somewhat prohibitive, but time and difficulty getting to the clinic were not. So initially the clinic had been providing a bus service to go pick up women around the city. Really what we found was just giving a little bit of money to get on the matatus to get to clinic was something that was just as effective as anything else that we were doing, and it was the most cost effective. So that's something that we're working on. Also, cost is not so much an issue for our HIV-positive clients at BOMU. All care, prescriptions, and maternity care are provided for free, and so that is not so much an issue at our clinic. Morbidity, of course, is a problem for those of our patients who are sort of in the late stages of AIDS and struggling with the symptoms at the end of the disease. Once we sort of looked at the question of access, we wanted to look at the linkages between our different centers of our care. So between the ANC and the CCC, we had about 100% uptake. It was actually 99 to 100% uptake of voluntary counseling and testing within our antenatal clinic, which is excellent. We had an opt-out system of providing counseling and testing. Many women obviously took this option. And of those women who tested positive within the antenatal clinic, many were set up with appointments within the CCC on the same day, and there was a great linkage between our antenatal clinic and our comprehensive care center. However, the same was not true of our maternity ward. There was actually, when we visited Mombasa, when we first got involved in this project, which was in June of 2006, there was no voluntary counseling and testing being done in our maternity ward. None whatsoever at night, because there was just not counseling staff available, and sometimes during the day. It was sort of happening every once in a while. It wasn't consistent was really the problem. And also there was no connection between the maternity ward and the comprehensive care center and our pediatric comprehensive care center. So a lot of these kids were being born and having unknown status, and no one knew whether they were infected, and they certainly weren't getting treated appropriately, and they were being lost. One of the nurses, who's excellent at BOMU, actually said that these kids were referred to as their lost babies among the nurses. They were just being lost to a system of care that wasn't consistent and really wasn't providing adequate services to this population. We also wanted to look at these exposed infants and how were they getting hooked into care and how could we assure their return to the clinic after they were delivered. And we looked at barriers to pediatric enrollment. There's a time delay. So one concern is that when people were tested, they weren't coming back in the appropriate amount of time. It was better to test the mother on one day and test the child on the same day and enroll them in care. So that was sort of our moms with older kids. This was not our maternity crowd. Obviously, when you have a child who has just delivered, viral assay would be appropriate, which is something that Laura will talk about. We're actually doing PCR now, but an antibody test is ineffective when a baby is just born. With people who have older kids and can receive antibody tests, the time delay is significant. So that's something we can talk about. I don't know if any of you have experience with that, but the goal would be to have the entire family unit come in on one day, receive testing, and then hook them into care. Of course, there are issues of stigma and disclosure. People just don't want to know sometimes if their kids are HIV positive, because sometimes there's a sense that they know that there's something wrong, and they don't want the stigma attached to the disease. There's also a problem with distance from parents. A lot of kids go away to school, so it was harder for them to come into the clinic. And then just issues of perceptions about the disease, education about availability of treatment, particularly at BOMU, and then social support from the community. We want to talk a little bit about scaling up. If you can, this is one of our clerks in the. This is actually the nurses' station of the hospital, and she's surrounded by the files of the patients at the CCC. That just speaks to the incredible expansion of our HIV care center. From having no HIV care enrollment in 2004, we currently have over 5,000 patients enrolled in care at BOMU. We treat about 180 clients per day and about 30 candidates for heart are sort of evaluated per week. There's a lot of space issues at the clinic. One thing I definitely wanted to talk about was that we've had a lot of concerns with overcrowding that were contributing to the spread of TB. I don't know if that's something that you guys can relate to. I heard a few nods, and yeah. So we are actually undergoing an expansion. We're actually adding 3 levels to this building in Mombasa. So overcrowding will be less of an issue, but I'm sure in the coming years we'll meet capacity again, and again it will be an issue. And then, of course, administration and staff requirements. We've definitely had a problem with burnout. A lot of our nurses and our doctors treating 180 clients per day split between maybe 3 or 4 teams of care. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of anxiety and stress. And that's an issue that we're actively engaged in trying to find a solution for. So we want to talk about our goal for developing a comprehensive PMTCT program at BOMU, and we want to reiterate that continuity of care will only be provided with the help of some community health workers. We sort of see those community health workers, which at BOMU are called tracers, as the common common denominator. They sort of can connect that circle of care. So we see them as being able to provide pregnant women with medications at home if they're too sick to come into the clinic. We see them as able to follow up if someone misses an appointment. And one thing that was sort of a surprise to us, I don't know if this happens at other clinics, is when we brought this up at a meeting of sort of our PMTCT team just before we were leaving, we were talking about community health workers, and someone said that there would just be too much stigma attached to that person going into the home. So it would be better if the community health worker went into all pregnant women's homes, so that the community health worker is not so much associated with HIV positive status, but associated with being pregnant. We're also hoping to use some traditional birthing professionals and incorporating those people into our system of care. But we really view our community health workers as a liaison between all the departments, and that's one thing that has been lacking, communication between all departments. And Lara's going to talk about sort of how we've standardized this program and how we're hoping to evaluate it.
Okay, so as Nick has sort of implied, and sort of the underlying assumption in everything that we've said with all the new things that we've been implementing, is that from the moment that a pregnant mother is diagnosed HIV positive to her taking the correct medication for prophylaxis to prevent mother-to-child transmission, to get care after that, because we all know HIV is a chronic disease and does not end at 9 months, and to make sure that the child is healthy, there's a number of events that have to take place in a streamlined and efficient and consequential way. So we sort of decided that the next step would be to sort of come up with an intervention, or what we're calling a linkage algorithm, which is a way to sort of put together all the things that we felt would really make this kind of circle actually connect and really bridge the gap. And the two main measures of success that we felt would come out of this study and this implementation would be the percentage of HIV-infected mothers who give birth to uninfected infants, so, you know, prevention of mother-to-child transmission, as it sounds like, and these mothers, how many of these mothers are actually coming back to continue their care for the rest of their lives. So we began this linkage study and we decided to define what the components are for this algorithm. And so there are four parts. So the first part is within the clinic. These are the PMTC liaisons. And these are going to be nurses and counselors who are trained actually by Kenya government-sponsored training programs. And so that's a really great thing too, because that's locally instigated. That's something that's, you know, completely sanctioned by the government, and that's something that they don't need a foreign body to do, so it gives a little bit more autonomy to the project. But these are people that within the clinic can actually help these patients navigate between CCC, maternity, ANC, I mean, even, you know, the questions of space and understanding where in the clinic you have to go to get tested for what and who and what. So that's the part within the clinic. And then, as Nick has alluded to, the community health workers are the people who are going out into the community to make sure that mothers are following up with their appointments. And as Nick said so appropriately, the point of this is to protect the confidentiality, which is a big problem also with space, and the protection of these mothers by making sure to go to all pregnant women's homes. And there's a lot of things that you can be doing. You can be talking about hygiene, you can be talking about nutrition, feeding methods, and of course, HIV prophylaxis for those mothers who are HIV positive. So you're increasing the quality and comprehensiveness of care for all pregnant women at the end. And the next two parts of this algorithm are a PMTCT form, which is something that everyone in the clinic had had input on. And essentially that speaks to effective documentation for better follow-up and a way to really store information about every single mother who comes in and is diagnosed with HIV. This allows everybody, the community health workers, the PMTCT liaisons, to allow better follow-up and to know who's coming to their appointments and who's not, and better recording of everything. I know for a lot of us it translates into more paperwork, but you have to do it. And then the next part is, of course, within the ANC and the maternity ward, we really need to make sure that everyone who comes in is given access to voluntary counseling and testing for HIV. So as Nick mentioned, it's become an opt-out kind of, it's an opt-out policy. So in fact, our coverage has been very good so far. So through our evaluation method, we looked at a lot of charts and put a lot of information onto an access database from before the beginning of this intervention and afterwards. So from April 2006 to March 2007 was our baseline data, and then from April 2007 to March 2008 is afterwards. So basically, we have our primary outcomes and our secondary outcomes are very similar to what we had before. And we're really excited to talk a little bit about the baseline data. And we have some from the antenatal clinic and from maternity. So 1,341 women presented to the antenatal clinic with an unknown HIV status. And our uptake of voluntary counseling and testing was very high. And overall, our HIV prevalence rate of people who tested and tested positive was about 13%. That's comforting to us, because that's actually consistent with other peri-urban clinics that have been giving similar numbers, so we feel like we're getting a pretty representative group of the population. About 10% of those women actually required heart for HIV treatment, given their CD4 counts and their viral loads. But then the last two numbers a little more disconcerting to us. Only half of the women who were HIV positive came back to the antenatal clinic since their diagnosis. And that's a problem. We're not sure why that is, why they're not coming to their antenatal appointments, but that's really a specific focus for the community health workers to go in and find out what those barriers are. So as baseline data, it's concerning, but there's room for improvement, and we feel like we have something that can help with that. And then, actually, only about 27%, so that's under a third of those women who tested positive in the antenatal clinic, received correct prophylaxis, so single-dose nevirapine or AZT and single-dose nevirapine, which is really what needs to be taken at the time of delivery or 72 hours after delivery to substantially reduce the chance of preventing mother-to-child transmission. So that's another concerning number. We're not sure what the actual issues are. If anyone has insights, we're happy to hear them, but we hope that after the intervention, that's a number that can increase. And then our data from the maternity ward was pretty interesting too. So 158 women presented to the maternity ward, pregnant, ready to deliver, and did not know their HIV status. Of those, only 35 people were offered testing. And Nick mentioned this before. This is a question of people not being trained to offer training, not being trained in PMTCT, and not having, actually just not having the testing kits in the room was another barrier. So those are things that we've been working on. And interestingly, of the people who tested, we found a prevalence of 33%. which is significantly higher than that 13% of people presenting while pregnant. So that speaks to possible barriers of maybe people not presenting as they're pregnant because they know their status or fear or stigma. We're not actually sure how come so many more women are presenting at BOMU to deliver and are actually HIV positive. So as more numbers come in, we're really interested in seeing where that goes. And then another kind of concerning number was that only one of our HIV-positive women who was diagnosed in the maternity ward came back to the comprehensive care center after delivery. And only three of those women were actually given the correct prophylaxis. So there's a lot of room for improvement, but our baseline data shows that the linkage algorithm or this sense of bridging this gap is founded and it's realistic because there are seriously gaps that need to be bridged. So overall, our conclusions, as I said, were just there is definitely a role for this algorithm that we've been talking about, and we hope that at some point we'll see you all again and we can tell you what the follow-up data for that is. So we'd love to thank all our mentors, our advisors, patients and staff at BOMU, our supporters, the New York Academy of Medicine, the Infectious Disease Society of America, the School of Medicine, and, of course, the APHA for having us. Thank you.